President. So I know you're watching the data carefully. You can see the dramatic increases in the number of new cases based on our ability to test additional people. And this will continue over the next 2 to 3 days as we begin to have backlogs reduced of the testing. You all have heard the anecdotes of people waiting 5 or 6 days for their test results. We are moving through all of that as well as testing individuals. I really want to applaud the frontline healthcare workers, the nurses and the doctors and the testers that have really prioritized, and the American people who have prioritized those with symptoms. The number of test positives is increasing. That is a dramatically important signature that everybody is doing their job. Those with mild symptoms are staying home, self-isolating. Those with serious symptoms are coming forward to getting testing. Our test positive rates are now into the 10 to 11% range. That still means that 90% of the illnesses out there, even the severe ones, are not COVID-19. I know many of you are looking at the state-level data. Still, over 50% of the cases come from 3 states. This is why we continue to prioritize testing in those states. In addition, 50% of the cases come from 10 counties. We're a very large country with very many counties, and I just want to applaud the local and state governments that are implementing their emergency operations centers and plans to ensure. I want to also really thank the healthcare workers that have been asked to reduce all elective surgeries, medical, and dental visits. This will dramatically increase the number of ventilators that are available in hospitals, but also in ambulatory surgical centers that can be converted and utilized, and also to the construction industry. We are deeply grateful the number, as Vice President said, the number of individuals have come forward with their construction masks, their booties, their Tyvek suits, and their masks to contribute them to the healthcare sector. The President's request to make this available in that legislation changes the ability and increases our availability immediately by in the 75 to 90% range because of the amount of construction use of those elements. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor, very much. Jerome, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President, Mr. Vice President. Today, you heard a wonderful announcement from the FDA, and I just want to give a shout out to Steve, Dr. Hahn, and the folks at the FDA, where several hundred of my Commission Corps officers work. You're right, Mr. President. They are tireless. They're doing things that have never been done before to bring the most prudent advances to the American people. But I want to talk about something different briefly. We know many of you are home practicing the President's guidelines for social distancing. But one thing we should all consider, especially our millennials and Gen Z, is donating blood. As an anesthesiologist who still practices at Walter Reed taking care of our wounded warriors and our soldiers, I know donated blood is an essential part of caring for patients, and one donation can save up to 3 lives. Blood centers are open now and in need of your donation. I want America to know that blood donation is safe, and blood centers are taking extra precautions at this time based on new CDC recommendations, including spacing beds 6 feet apart, disinfecting surfaces between patients, temperature checking staff, and encouraging donors to make appointments ahead of time so we can space them out. Social distancing does not have to mean social disengagement. So give blood today. You'll feel good about it, and you'll be helping your country and your community during this crisis. And you might even save a life.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Yeah, please. Go ahead,
Jim. Mr. President, switching to the efforts to boost the economy with the measures before Congress, will you guarantee that the money, the billions, the tens of billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars even, that's going to go to these industries will not go to executive bonuses or to more stock buybacks?
Well, we don't want that. In fact, some companies, as you know, did stock buybacks, and I was never happy with that. It's very hard to tell them not to, but I would tell them not to. I would say I don't like it for that reason. Some did, and it turned out that they could have waited a long time. It would have been much better off if they did.
You can make it a condition of the bill. You can say that none of this money can go for that.
It takes many, many people in this case to tango. But as far as I'm concerned, that conditions like that would be okay with me.
Mr.
Mr.
President, if I could, a question for you and then a question for Dr. Hahn. You enabled, I guess is probably the best way to put it, the Defense Production Act yesterday, but you didn't pull the trigger on it.
No, because we hope we're not going to need that.
You're getting a lot of calls on Capitol Hill from the Democratic leadership to pull the trigger on it. Why? What's the rationale for not doing that?
First of all, governors are supposed to be doing a lot of this work, and they are doing a lot of this work. The federal government's not supposed to be out there buying vast amounts of items and then shipping. You know, we're not a shipping clerk. The governors are supposed to be, as with testing, the governors are supposed to be doing it. We'll help out, and we'll help out wherever we can, and we can buy in volume and, in some cases, great volume, with the masks, as an example, which were really a problem. We have helped out, and there are right now millions of masks being made. But this is really for the local governments, governors, and people within the state, depending on the way they divide it up. And they'll do that, and they're doing a very good job of it. Where you have a problem with ventilators, we're working very hard trying to find nobody in their wildest dreams would have ever thought that we need tens of thousands of ventilators. This is something that's very unique to this, to what happened.
Under what conditions would you put the Defense Production Act into action?
Well, if we were desperately in need of something, and we frankly will know about that very shortly. We want to be ahead of, we don't want to do it as it happens, but before it happens, we're going to know a lot over the next 2 or 3 days. We'll know a lot.
For Dr. President. Dr. Hahn, any idea when remdesivir will be available to the market? And are there any drugs in the pipeline that you believe could qualify for a treatment IND?
So with respect to the first question, I'm prohibited by law to disclose confidential commercial information. What I can tell you is we're working very closely with the company on this, and we'll have additional information. They will, relatively soon. Yes, there are drugs in the pipeline. We're looking at everyone. Everyone on this dais gets calls every day, as do all of our people at the FDA, about potential therapeutic options. We are looking at every single one of them.
Mr. President, two questions for you. One on coronavirus, but just really quickly, are you confirming that Austin Tice is still alive?
No, I'm not, but we're trying to find that out. This has been going on for years. Many years they've been trying to find Austin Tice. He was in Syria, as you know. His mother is an incredible woman. And I'm doing it for him, but I'm doing it for his mother. His mother's an incredible woman who's desperate to find her son. And I'm not confirming alive, but if he is alive, we would like very much to get him back quickly.
Okay. And on coronavirus, speaking of shortages of supplies, the CDC has put out guidelines for hospitals that are dealing with a shortage of masks to use them beyond their shelf life, reuse them instead of getting new ones, and in a worst-case scenario, use a bandana instead of a mask. How is that acceptable at all?
Well, I haven't seen that, but I will let Mike answer that question, Vice President.
I'm happy to, Mr. President. I can't emphasize enough the incredible progress that was made with the passage of the legislation last night. The President had me go to Minnesota and meet with 3M that manufactures these N95 masks a few weeks ago. And we learned of their production at that facility of 35 million masks a month. Less than 5 million of those were qualified to be sold to hospitals. So the President worked with Republican and Democrat leadership. We've extended the liability protection. So now that all the industrial masks that are manufactured as N95s are now available to hospitals, and we're seeing a dramatic increase in production. Honeywell alone is repurposing a factory that was destined for Mexico to produce another 120 million masks per year. 3M is increasing output to 420 million masks per year. We've put a priority at the President's direction on making sure those that are providing healthcare services to America have the protection to keep themselves and their families safe. And with the legislation last night, with the incredible response among these great private sector companies, and as we mentioned repeatedly, with construction companies around America heeding the President's call to donate their industrial masks to hospitals, it's happening all over America, we know we'll meet that need.
But when will those be ready? Isn't that kind of sad?
How many masks are being made, and when will they be ready, or at least we start getting them ready?
Well, as I mentioned, 3M is increasing their output to 420 million a year. At production in January, they make 35 million per month at that facility. And we're prioritizing the distribution of those. But the other thing, and we'll emphasize this with governors this afternoon, is We're working with governors to make sure that the healthcare providers, the hospitals, and the clinics in their state are placing orders now that this tremendous increase in supply, particularly with industrial masks, is now available. We're going to make sure they understand that the supply has greatly expanded thanks to a bipartisan legislation and the accomplishment of the president. And the response by these companies is making more masks available. And we're going to make sure healthcare providers are purchasing those. And the federal government will also make sure that our stockpile is properly reflects those increases as well.
So, on the president's question, when will those masks be ready for, because they need them like today?
They're available now. The 3M facility that I was at told me that in January they went to full production on 35 million masks. The legislative change means that all 35 million of those that started to be produced at full capacity in January can now be sold to hospitals. That's the distinction here. It's a very important change, and it's part of the way the president has been engaging the private sector, pushing the kind of regulatory reform and the kind of liability reform that has greatly expanded the availability of masks. So they're in the marketplace now. We're going to make it clear to governors, as we made it clear to healthcare providers in conference calls yesterday, that those resources are now there. We've vastly increased the supply of medical masks, and we're going to continue to put a priority on making sure that we're calling on industry at every level, calling on major suppliers that the president met with this week, to make sure that those personal protective equipment are there.
Some of that had to do with the liability to the company. They had a big problem with liability, and much of it had to do with the liability to the company.
Mr. President, thank you. Two for you and one for Dr. Hahn. The American Hospital Association just told NBC News that they need $100 billion in order to address shortages in equipment and other infrastructure there. You just signed two legislative packages. They say it didn't directly give money to address this issue. Why not? And will you commit to making
sure they get the money? We're looking at that issue directly with them, and that's a separate issue, but we're looking at that issue very directly.
We're looking at it very directly.
Well, we're going to do our best on it, but we're working with Democrats and Republicans on that. We're looking at that very specifically.
Can you bottom line, people, when can Americans expect their lives to go back to normal? Will that not happen until there's a vaccine?
I hope very soon. We'll see. This is uncharted territory, as you know. We think we have ideas. It doesn't help to say what the ideas are. I would hope very soon. We've pulled together as a nation. People are, for the most part, doing what they're supposed to be doing. The social distancing is very interesting, a whole new term that's become somewhat of a hot term, but people are listening and they're really doing a great job. This country is an amazing country. I think you're up to 141 different countries right now. So it's very uncharted territory. Could have been stopped pretty easily if everybody had known about it a number of months before people started reading about it.
You said you didn't.
Excuse me. Before we started reading about it, it could have been stopped in its tracks. Unfortunately, they didn't decide to make it public, but the whole world is suffering because of it.
You did say a few days ago, though, you did have a sense that this was a pandemic that was coming. So why was the United States not prepared with more testing?
We were very prepared. The only thing we weren't prepared for was the media. The media has not treated it fairly. I'll tell you how prepared I was. I called for a ban from people coming in from China long before anybody thought it was. In fact, it was your network. I believe they called me a racist because I did that. It was many of the people in the room. They called me racist and other words because I did that, because I went so early. So when you say we weren't prepared, had I let these tens of thousands of people come in from China a day, we would have had something right now that would have been, you wouldn't have even recognized it compared to where we are. How many people have passed away? How many people have died as of this moment? You could multiply that by a factor of many, many, many. So when you say that I wasn't prepared, I was the first one to do the ban. Now other countries are following what I did. But the media doesn't acknowledge that. They know it's true. They know it's true, but they don't want to write about it. Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to just follow up on John and Caitlin's question. So it's not just masks. Doctors are saying now that they are desperate for other personal protective gear, gloves, other equipment. Governors are saying that they don't have access to respirators, and they're terrified. What is your reticence about
it? Governors are supposed to get it. The states are supposed to get it, but we're helping the states. Well, look, for years they bought them, and now all of a sudden they're coming to the federal government. We're working with the states. We're working with the governors. We're working with everybody. The relationships are great. One of the things that happened this morning, I spoke with Mickey Arison of Carnival Cruise Lines, and he is going to make ships available. So in addition to the big medical ships that you have coming, if we should need ships with lots of rooms, they'll be docked at New York and Los Angeles and San Francisco, different places. So I want to thank Mickey Arison. That's Carnival Cruise Lines.
What is your reticence about invoking the Defense Production
Act? I've done it.
If
we find that we need something, that we will do that. And you don't know what we've done. You don't know whether or not we've ordered. You don't know if we've invoked it. You don't know what's been ordered, what's not been ordered. I can only tell you that as an example, masks, nobody ever heard of the number of masks that's been ordered. They're being made now, and many are available now. But people, I think, in the media probably don't know that.
Could you explain the gap in, for the American people and what you're saying here today about there being tens of thousands of tests available, about how there being a huge amount of masks available, and what we're seeing on the ground, which is really the opposite of that. People are saying that they can't get tested even when they have symptoms. People are saying that doctors are telling us they don't have access to vital equipment. Can you explain that gap?
I cannot explain a gap. I'm hearing very good things on the ground, and we're dealing with love. They had a ramp up. They had an obsolete system, and they had a system simultaneously that was not meant for this. It wasn't meant for this. Nobody knew there'd be a pandemic or an epidemic of this proportion. Nobody's ever seen anything like this before. I can tell you that what we're doing is we're working with local governments, with states, governors, even mayors, on getting them to be able to get what they need. And the system is starting to work out very well. But we had to break a system, like breaking an egg, because the system we had was obsolete and didn't work. And that was a system we inherited. And now we have something that's really been very good and certainly going to be great for the future, too. Yeah, please.
Dr. Hahn.
Mr. President, there seems to be a backlash building among congressional Republicans and then your supporters about a corporate bailout. In particular, Senator Mike Braun said that this could harken back to 2008, where we're picking winners and losers, and he indicated that he and some of his colleagues may not be comfortable with that. What do you say to that?
Well, we don't want to pick winners and losers. We want everybody to benefit. We want, I think, more than anything else, the workers to benefit. And sometimes for the worker to benefit, you have to go through the company, because they have thousands of workers. And if the company goes out of business, no fault of their own, those workers aren't going to be able to receive a check. So we're our ultimate goal are the people. Our ultimate goal are the great people of this country. And we will have things worked out, I think, that are going to be very well. It's a very complex formula. You understand that. Very complex. But it's working out. I think it's going to be very well. I think we're going to have pretty uniform support for it. Please.
President, we're hearing the State Department is going to put out an advisory telling Americans not to travel overseas at all. Are you putting in an overseas travel ban?
We're speaking with the State Department later. I can't say right now because I haven't had the meeting yet.
Thank you, President Trump. I wanted to ask Dr. Hahn about today's announcement, if I could.
Yes,
Dr. Hahn, thank you so much. I wanted to ask about Remdesivir, if I hope I pronounced that correctly. Can you say, is it currently approved for use on the virus?
So Remdesivir, and it's a drug made by Gilead, that's been in the press. It is currently in clinical trials here and around the world. We have also made it available by that approach that I told you called compassionate use, where a doctor could ask the FDA for that. And the really positive thing about that gives it rapidly to a doctor and a patient, but it allows us to collect the data, because what we really need to do is understand what the data and science are in order to make the appropriate decision about safety and effectiveness.
So how do you just make sure that it is safe? And I mean, is there any concern at all that it will be safe, considering that it's not going through the normal process and could potentially cause negative effects? Dr. Fauci earlier talked about we do not want to put out anything that could cause negative effects. Is there any concern about those kind of things with this drug, sir?
Yeah, and thank you for that question, because I just want to be clear about this. Remdesivir is going through the normal process. We are using our internal processes at FDA to set up with the company the protocols to actually collect the data. And you're right, We need to actually know about the safety and the effectiveness, and that's done through the clinical trial process. So it's those data that are going to inform the decisions that are ultimately made about safety and efficacy. This is an unprecedented situation. This is a really significant time. And one thing that, with the president's leadership, FDA has done is said, okay, how do we approach these extraordinary times with extraordinary measures, knowing that we have a sacred trust with the American people about safety and efficacy, but still at the same time enable these treatments to get into patients, and that's what we're doing.
Mr. President, one for you and one for the doctors. How likely is it that the 15-day guidance that you have put through will be extended?
I can only tell you on the 14th day. And we'll have to see. We'll have indications later on.
Dr. Birx indicated that there are 3 states and 10 counties, if I got that right, where 50% of the cases are focused. Should those areas be doing more measures such as shelter in place?
I think they actually are doing a lot. I mean, I know New York is working very diligently, been very strong. I assume San Francisco is one of the areas, and Los Angeles, and state of Washington, obviously, that's one that has to be up there. They're all working very hard to quarantine, or words just about the equivalent of quarantine.
Okay? And what is your plan, sir, for government workers? Are you moving for the government as well to start doing more teleworking?
We are, and we're doing, we're using the medical term of telemedicine, and it's been incredibly busy and really, you know, where people don't have to, I mean, some people can't do it anyway. They can't get up, they can't see a doctor. But we're using this, and it's been telehealth, different names. And I will tell you that it's been really successful. It's helped a lot of people out where they don't have to, and they can't. And even from a safety reason, if they are positive, if they are feeling poorly, they can't do it, or we don't want them transmitting anything to anybody else.
Mr. President, if I could, on China, they reported for the first time since the outbreak no new cases over a 24-hour period. Do you have any reason to disbelieve them? And second to that, the National Security Council yesterday put out a tweet very critical of the Chinese government, saying the Chinese Communist Party suppressed initial reports on the Chinese virus and punished doctors and journalists, causing Chinese and international experts to miss critical opportunities to prevent a global pandemic. Could you expand?
Well, it would have been much better if we had known about this a number of months earlier. It could have been contained to that one area in China where it started. And certainly the world is paying a big price for what they did, and the world is paying a very big price for not letting them come out. Everybody knows that. We all know that. As far as believing what they're putting out now, I hope it's true. Who knows? But I hope it's true. I really do.
Quickly, a question for you, and then also for the doctor, if possible. You've been talking about China quite a bit, and you've been talking about the Chinese virus, how if you had heard about this on day one and had more information, possibly you could have stopped it.
Big difference.
Are you thinking about any types of repercussions for China, and are you also rethinking sort of the supply lines for our manufacturing industry?
I don't want to comment on that right now. Yeah.
Mr. President, I have a question for you and also a question for Dr. Birx, if you. American workers across the country are losing their jobs at an unprecedented rate, and your former economist said we could see some of the worst job numbers ever. Is the government prepared to see this spike in unemployment?
No, worst case scenario, you would have terrible job numbers. If we can get this thing wrapped up and finished earlier, things will go very nicely. And one of the things they're working, as you know, one of the elements that is being worked on very much so in the Hill is to keep the jobs going so that when we do get rid of the virus, we're going to be able to just really, I think, go like a rocket. I think the economy is going to be fantastic. Now, when he said that, he was using that as the ultimate bad outcome. I don't think anybody believes that's going to happen.
Members of Congress are now being tested positive for. Members of Congress are now being tested positive for coronavirus, and you have almost 24 who are self-quarantining. Do you have any guidance for Congress? Should they?
I know all of them, and I don't know if they're sitting like you people are sitting. You're actually sitting too close. We should probably get rid of about another 75-80% of you. I'll have just two or three that I like in this room. I think that's a great way of doing it. We just figured a new way of doing it, but you're actually much too close. You know, you two, you should leave immediately. But look, I know all of them. They tested positive. Hopefully they're all going to get better. And it's one of those things. It's Congress, you know? It's one of those things.
Should they keep going to the Hill, or should they?
Well, I don't think they're going to the Hill. I mean, I know some where they tested positive, they're in quarantine. And I know Lindsay and many others are, they didn't test it, but until they got the result, they put themselves in quarantine. A number of people in Congress right now are in quarantine. They don't know the results. When they get the result, they'll either stay there and get better, because people get better. I mean, most people are getting better. Most, by far, the people, you get better. Doesn't mean it's not a tough one. It is a tough one. But no, when they, many people in Congress have felt not perfect, or they met somebody that wasn't perfect, it turned out to be positive, and they've put themselves in quarantine. Now, I think Congress has behaved unbelievably well in that regard.
Mr. President, on the stimulus, sir, given what is happening to the economy, do you think $1 trillion stimulus is enough?
We'll know about that later on. We'll see what happens. It depends how long. So much depends on what's going on in this room in terms of the medical. If we can stop it in its tracks, the virus, it's plenty. If we can't, we'll have to go back and talk.
Do you support the idea of the government taking an equity stake in certain companies?
I do. I really do.
Which companies are you?
I'm not going to say, but I think so. Look, people are coming. People are coming in for money. In some cases, no fault of their own, but in some cases, where they did certain things over the course of the years, including buying back stock. You know, they bought back stock and they paid a high price for it, as it turned out. Maybe I view that as a little bit differently than somebody that didn't, than somebody that built plants all over the United States, of which there were plenty of them, too.
Would you consider airlines or Boeing, or what are you thinking of?
We will be helping the airline industry. We will be helping the cruise ship industry. We probably will be helping the hotel industry. We'll probably be where jobs are created. You don't want to lose industries like this. These are incredible industries. You can't lose them. So we'll be focused on many industries. And I have to say, I can't say it strongly enough. We will be helping small businesses. That's where it's complicated, because there's a lot of small, you know, that's the engine of the country. We will be helping small businesses.
Dr. Hahn, Mr. President,
these two members of Congress that have tested positive for coronavirus, these will be votes that you need to pass this $1 trillion stimulus package for the economy. Do you expect this to slow down the delivery of checks for American families? And are you considering any executive action?
There could be. We're looking at a couple of things that I could do. Hopefully, won't need it, but we can do. There's a lot of executive power. If we don't have to use it, that would be a good thing, not a bad thing. Yeah, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. One for you, and potentially as well, one for either Dr. Birx or Dr. Adams. Right now, the economy is essentially ground to a halt.
Thanks for telling us. We appreciate it.
Stores have closed. Travel has slowed down.
Go ahead. What's the rest of your question? We know that. Everybody in the room knows that.
The question is, how long should those who are either not working right now or business owners who have to make critical decisions, how long should they expect the state of affairs as it stands at this moment to play out? And for the doctors behind you,
we'll be able to tell you that I think in the near future. We'll see where we're going. You're going to see numbers. You've seen the graphs. You're going to see numbers, and we'll be able to let you know. I will say that the American public has been incredible for the most part, not in all cases, but for the most part. So you'll be able to see what's happening over the next, as we say, we had a 15-day period. You'll be able to tell a lot in a week or so, not everything, but we'll be able to see over a period of time.
And for all the parents that are home right now, and this is a question for Dr. Birx or Dr. Adams, who are caring for their children and are curious as to when might my kids be able to go back to school, what do you think is a realistic timeline?
Well, I think you know all of those decisions are made at the state and local government level, and each state and local government has handled it differently. That's why we put out from the president federal presidential guidance to every single person about what we think is important for the next 2 weeks. And as we look at that data, we'll be able to see if it's having an impact. I think you've all seen the modeling studies. Those were driven by the modeling studies showing that if you add these things together, they have a bigger impact than separately. And so those are part of the decision making. We had a whole group of modelers in yesterday. They're compositing all the data together to look at this carefully, because everyone has those same questions of what the impact will be and what pieces could essentially be removed and you still have the same level of impact in decreasing the spread of the virus. The absolute key to this, though, is every single American looking at the president guidelines and taking it seriously. The acts of selflessness that I am seeing are so impressive across the board. But if even 10 or 15% of the population decides that what they're doing today is more important than the health and welfare of the rest of the Americans, they can spread the virus in a very strong way because you know the level of contagion.
And I have to say, if chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine works, or any of the other things that they're looking at that are not quite as far out. But if they work, your numbers are going to come down very rapidly. So we'll see what happens. But there's a real chance that they might work. Go ahead, please.
In the back. Thank you so much. What is your message for some leaders in Latin America, like the president of Brazil, who just on Sunday was taking photos with supporters and encouraging mass demonstration? And just yesterday, a president from Brazil said that we should not be surprised if we see him in the next few days in a crowded subway in São Paulo or in a bus in Rio, because he is the president and should view the people. What do you think about that, and what is your message?
Well, he's a friend of mine, number one. And number two, we had dinner the other night, and everybody said he was positive, and he wasn't positive. He tested negative, so that was I was quite happy when I heard that. But I have no message for him other than he's doing a good job in Brazil.
He's doing a good job in Brazil,
and he's very popular.
Encouraging mass demonstration at this moment?
I can't tell you about that. I don't know about that. I have not heard that. He's doing a very good job. Brazil was very troubled before he got there. And he's the people love him and it's popular. I think he's doing a very good job.
Mr. President, there are Americans who were traveling abroad who were essentially stuck, unable to come home. We spoke to a group of 10 women who Americans. We spoke to 10 American women who are in Morocco, for instance. All the flights have been canceled. Their hotel is shutting down. They literally have no place to stay and no way to get home. They're asking the administration, the U.S. government, for help. What can be done?
We know about it. We have groups. We have a group of young people in Peru, and we're working on taking care of that with the military.
So military evacuation.
Yeah, we're looking to take, no, not evacuation. We're trying to get them out. And, you know, they got caught. They were late with their flights. We gave them a period of time. They didn't make it. But we're looking to get them out with military, probably through the military. We have a group of young people, I think young men or young people, could be women also with them from Alabama, the great state of Alabama, and they're in Peru, and we're working on that right now, trying to get them out. It's a large group. It's about 300. Well, we're going to work it out. Jeff?
Mr. President, two sort of foreign policy-related questions. In your talk with the G7 leaders earlier this week, did you discuss together ending or postponing the Olympics?
Yeah. We did discuss it. As you know, Prime Minister Abe was on the call, and that's a big decision for him, and we don't know what his decision is, but we'd live with his decision. It's a tough situation. They've done an incredible job. Japan has done an incredible job on building the venues, getting them built. You know, you've seen so many Olympic venues that have been a disaster over the years where they cost five times more than they were supposed to. They weren't ready in time. Japan has been just the opposite. They built it beautifully. They built it for what it was supposed to be built for. But then he got hit with the same thing that the rest of the world got hit with unexpectedly. He has told us that he has not made a decision as to what to do.
And also on foreign policy, have you spoken to the leaders of Saudi Arabia or Russia and encouraged them to stop this glut of oil that is affecting the market?
Well, the one thing I will tell you is that from the standpoint, you always get a little bit torn because, you know, until we became the leading producer, I was always for the person driving the car and filling up the tank of gas, and you'd have gasoline, and the prices were, if they were too high, I would always raise hell with OPEC. And I was always somebody that likes it. I never thought I'd see $22 and $24 and $28 a barrel, but that's what we have. And in one way, our consumer is very much helped. It's like a massive tax increase. That's bigger than any tax increase decrease that you could give. You know, we can give all these big tax cuts, but they're paying so little for gasoline. But on the other hand, it hurts a great industry and a very powerful industry. So I spoke with numerous people that have a lot to do with it, and we have a lot of power over the situation, and we're trying to find some kind of a medium ground. You know, it's very devastating to Russia, because when you look, I mean, the whole economy is based on that, and we have the lowest oil prices in decades. So it's very devastating to Russia. I would say it's very bad for Saudi Arabia, but they're in a fight. They're in a fight on price. They're in a fight on output. And at the appropriate time, I'll get involved. Yeah.
And forgive me if I missed it. What will the Carnival cruise ships be used for?
Well, Mickey called up and he said, if you need them, and we haven't said yes, I'll call Governor Cuomo. I'll call Gavin Newsom, Governor from California. I'll call a few of the other governors. They're going to bring it up today because we're meeting telephonically, as they say, in a little while at FEMA. I'm going over to FEMA from here.
You're thinking increased hospital beds?
Well, you can increase places to stay. Let's say places to stay, if it works. I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe people won't want them. But he made the offer. It was a very generous offer. And he said that he has some ships that would be ideally suited for what we're doing. And certainly they have a lot of rooms. They're big and they have a lot of rooms. So we appreciate it from Carnival.
At what point in the future will any American who wants a test be able to get a test? Because you're talking about not needing a test right now if you're not showing any symptoms, but a lot
not
of
needing the tests,
or only getting tested if you're showing symptoms, but a lot of this.
Well, no, you should only get. You should. I didn't have any symptoms that I got a test, but I got a test because you people were driving everybody crazy. So that's the only reason. I had no symptoms, but I had a test. And my doctor told me, don't get it. You don't need it. Everybody said, you don't need it. But I had to do it because the press was going crazy. And then after I got it, they said, you shouldn't have gotten it. You had no symptoms. You know, the whole thing. So in other words, if you get it, it was no good. But I'm a unique case, unfortunately. But no, people that don't show symptoms and people that have doctors that say they shouldn't get it, I would rely on that. Yeah, I would rely on that.
Mr. President, thank you. I have two questions. Do you consider the term Chinese?
OAN.
Yes, sir. Thank
very
you.
Good. Thank
I have
you
two
very
questions.
Much. You treat me very nicely.
Do
go
you
ahead.
Consider the term Chinese food racist because
no.
it's food that originates in China or it has Chinese?
No, I don't think it's racist.
On that note,
I don't think it's racist at all.
On that note, major left-wing news media, even in this room, have teamed up with Chinese Communist Party narratives, and they're claiming you are racist for making these claims about Chinese virus. Is it alarming that major media players just to oppose you are consistently siding with foreign state propaganda, Islamic radicals, and Latin gangs and cartels, and they work right here at the White House with direct access to you and your team?
It amazes me when I read the things that I read. It amazes me when I read the Wall Street Journal, which is always so negative. It amazes me when I read the New York Times is not even, I barely read it. You know, we don't distribute it in the White House anymore, and the same thing with the Washington Post. Because, you see, I know the truth. And people out there in the world, they really don't know the truth. They don't know what it is. They use different slogans and different concepts for me almost every week, trying to catch something. Last week, it was all chaos. You see me. There's no chaos. I have no chaos. I'm the one telling everybody to be calm. There's no chaos at the White House. We have unbelievable professionals. It's really, I mean, I think I came up with the term. I hope I came up with the term. But it is fake news. It's more than fake news. It's corrupt news. They write stories without calling anybody. They write a story today. I had a couple of stories where they never call me, ever, that I know of. At least nobody tells me. They'll write a story about me without even asking my opinion on something. It's totally fake. I've never seen, I mean, there is a story in the Wall Street Journal today about, you know, about how we've done a phenomenal job on this. The governors, even Gavin Newsom, who, you know, I'm usually fighting with over the fires, and I think you should do a different kind of a job in the forests and lots of things. We argue a lot. But Gavin Newsom's been very, very generous. Andrew Cuomo's been really very generous. I mean, they're saying we're doing a great job, and everybody's saying. But then you'll read this phony story in the Wall Street Journal, or well, the Washington Post is going wild lately. I don't know what happened to them. I guess something happened, like we don't call them back or whatever. But the Washington Post, these are very dishonest media sources. They're very dishonest. And you know what? Someday, hopefully in 5 years, I won't be here, and that'll be fine. I will have done, I think, a great job, because I don't think anyone's done as much in 3.5 years as I've done, I don't think, and the administration. This administration's done a great job. But the press is very dishonest.
But more than dishonest, they're siding with state propaganda.
Well, I think they do. I mean, they are siding with China. They are doing things that they shouldn't be doing. They're siding with many others. China's the least of it. So why they're doing this, you'll have to ask them. But if we had an honest media in this country, our country would be an even greater place. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. We are very excited about, specifically, what we talked about with the chloroquine. I think it could be something really incredible. It could totally depress the times that we had mentioned. Wait, excuse me. It could totally depress any time that we're talking about if it works. There are a lot of reasons that I have to believe. Again, Dr. Hahn is the expert, but a lot of reasons that I would have to think that it could have a very positive effect or a positive effect. Maybe not very, but maybe positive. I think it's, to me, very, very exciting. And the beauty is, I think I can say this, Steve, the beauty is that these drugs have been out there. So the really danger part of the drugs, especially chloroquine, it's been out there for years. So we know it's something that can be taken safely. So it's very important. Go ahead.
Dr. Hahn, can you just give a little bit more information about that, the process by which folks are going to be able to actually use these medicines? Because I believe there were at least two cited, maybe more. How quickly do you think people will be able to use them? And then if you can update us on the vaccine, I know it's fast-tracked.
Well, the president has asked us to expedite this. And what I want to assure you, because of the questions that were asked, we want to make sure that this is done well and right for the American people. The president is right. With an off-the-shelf drug, we do have a lot of information about the side effects of the drug, so that really helps in terms of expediting. But I want to assure you that we're working as quickly as we can. I don't want to speculate about a timeline at this point. With respect to vaccines, that's in phase one trial, as I mentioned. We're expecting that to proceed moving forward, and we're working with a number of different other companies about vaccine development.
The president had noted phase one was fast-tracked. Is it possible phase two and phase three can be fast-tracked, that we might see a vaccine before that year? You said it could potentially be a year.
This is a terrific question, and we are really trying hard at FDA to partner with great industry, great academic partners to do exactly that. No promises can be made, but one thing that we're doing is really working hard to fast-track as much as possible.
And they
Dr.
are.
Dr. Hahn, on the antivirus payments, Dr. Hahn, on the payments, Mr. President.
We're going
President.
To have other times to meet. We'll be meeting, hopefully, not for very long. I mean, I would like to see this get cleared up, and we think we've, to me, this was a very important conference, because I really think there's great potential here. And a lot of people are going to be trying it soon, like literally very soon, literally in a matter of days, if not sooner in some cases. It's already being experimented with, and there's been some very good results. We'll see what happens. But if we can be even partially right, maybe we'll be fully right, but even partially right on it, this whole subject becomes a much more pleasant subject. So thank you all. And we're going over to FEMA now, so I don't know who's going, but we're going to FEMA. We're going to be discussing with the governors and lots of other people. No, I think that's enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Why were you praising China?